Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome, everyone, to our very first episode of You Unmasking Safety Culture, The Real Unseen Players. I'm Jay Allen, your host for this deep dive into the intricacies of safety culture. Today, we're unraveling the unseen forces and players that influence safety within organizations. When we talk about safety culture, we often default to discussing systems and policies. However, what about those hidden aspects, those invisible players who silently shape these practices? This is exactly what we're here to uncover together. We'll be exploring the complex layers and dynamics that are not often discussed. Instead of sticking to the surface level narratives, it's time to challenge the status quo and bring to light the factors and influences driving safety culture from the shadows. Safety culture isn't just a set of manuals or guidelines. It's an evolving entity influenced by numerous unseen factors. Recognizing these elements is key to understanding and improving the culture of safety within any organization. So why are these unseen elements so crucial? Essentially, they greatly impact how safety policies are formed and how effectively they are put into practice. Often, they remain masked by general assumptions and standard protocols, but their influence is substantial. Through the lens of your organizational performance, or HOP, we'll examine how these hidden influences can be identified and addressed. HOP helps us understand the human aspects and systemic interactions that affect performance and safety outcomes. Keep your ears peeled as we embark on this journey to unveil the real players behind safety cultures that often remain hidden but are integral to shaping safer organizational environments. Thank you for joining us today as we set the stage for this exciting exploration. With that said, let's dive into our journey of discovery and transformation, pushing the boundaries of conventional safety narratives. Stay tuned as we venture into our first insight-packed exploration. And now, let's smoothly transition to our next section. Remember, we are scratching the surface here, and there's much more to uncover as we progress. Now that we've set the stage for our exploration of unmasking safety culture, it's time to meet our first guest who brings a wealth of insight and experience in this domain. Joining us today is Samantha Jones, a seasoned safety consultant specializing in human organizational performance, or HOPE. Samantha has spent over 10 years diving deep into the intricacies of safety cultures within organizations, bringing a unique perspective that does not often make it into conventional narratives. Her role has been pivotal in altering the way organizations perceive and implement safety protocols. Samantha, it's a pleasure to have you here with us as we delve into the hidden forces and players that truly influence safety culture. Can you share a bit about your background and what led you to specialize in this field? Thank you for sharing your professional background with us, Samantha. Now, I'm curious about your journey into the world of safety consulting. It's often these personal paths that really shed light on how someone becomes passionate about a field. Could you tell us more about your personal experiences that brought you to focus on the deeper aspects of safety culture?
Absolutely, Jay. It's been quite an adventure, honestly. Like many in our field, I didn't start in safety consulting immediately. My journey began when I was working at a manufacturing plant right out of college. I was in a management trainee program, and safety was merely one of the numerous checkboxes to tick off in our operations.
That seems to be a common entry point for many, but what changed that initial view and led you to pursue safety consulting with a focus on culture?
Interestingly, it was a significant incident at the plant that served as a turning point. I witnessed an accident that, thankfully, didn't result in any serious injuries, but it exposed glaring oversights in our established safety protocols. It was then that I realized we were often missing the human element in our safety strategies.
It's amazing how an incident like that can really open one's eyes to systemic issues. And how did that experience lead you to explore the depths of safety culture?
After the incident, I delved into human organizational performance, or HOP, which changed everything for me. It placed emphasis on understanding human behaviors, systemic factors, and how they intertwine with safety policies. My interest grew from here, and I began to explore not just the surface-level procedures, but the deeper cultural aspects that influence these practices.
That's such an insightful exploration, Samantha. Understanding the real players behind safety practices certainly offers a fresh perspective. How did your exploration shape your approach in the field of safety consulting?
It reshaped my entire approach. I started working with different organizations, helping them realize that a robust safety culture needs to integrate HOP principles. This involves viewing safety not just as a set of rules, but as a dynamic interplay of factors influenced by human behavior, organizational processes, and cultural attitudes.
And with that realization, I'm sure you've been able to make impactful changes in the organizations you've worked with. It's indeed fascinating to hear how your personal journey and career path have unfolded, Samantha.
Thank you, Jay. It's been rewarding to see organizations evolve their safety culture and recognize the unseen players or factors that impact safety. It's a continuous journey, and I'm always learning from each organization and situation I encounter.
As we delve deeper into the concept of safety culture, it's crucial to understand that it's not just about policies and procedures on paper. It's a living, breathing ecosystem shaped by a myriad of factors that aren't always visible at first glance.
Exactly, Jay. Safety culture goes beyond the usual checkboxes. It's about the deeply embedded norms, values, and beliefs that guide how individuals within an organization perceive and act upon safety issues.
And this perception isn't just about what's overtly communicated. Often, there are subtle cues within an organization that influence how safety is prioritized.
Right. These unspoken rules can be quite powerful, sometimes even more so than formal guidelines. They can dictate whether employees feel empowered to speak up about potential hazards or if they feel pressure to maintain the status quo.
Let's talk about the concept of safety culture in practical terms. What are some common misconceptions that you've encountered in your experience?
A common misconception is that safety culture can be changed overnight with a few new policies or a revamped safety program. But in reality, it requires a fundamental shift in organizational mindset, which takes time and persistent effort.
It sounds like it involves a continuous process of engagement and reflection more than anything else.
Absolutely. It's about creating an environment where continuous learning and adaptation are encouraged. Organizations need to understand the dynamic nature of safety culture.
How can organizations better identify these hidden influences that shape their safety culture?
One effective approach is to engage in open dialogues with employees across all levels. Understanding their perspectives can illuminate underlying issues that might not be evident through traditional safety audits.
That's a powerful insight. It seems that understanding safety culture requires empathy and active listening just as much as it does analytical assessments.
Exactly. Building a robust safety culture is ultimately about fostering trust and mutual respect, and that only happens when leaders truly listen and act upon the insights gathered from their teams.
This conversation about safety culture seems to tie perfectly into understanding its relationship with other factors, which brings us closer to our next topic. But before we get there, any final thoughts on this subject, Samantha?
Only that organizations should remember safety culture is not static. It's vital to continually evaluate and nurture it as an integral part of achieving operational excellence.
As we continue our conversation on safety culture, we now delve into the principles of human organizational performance, or HOP, and how they reveal the hidden intricacies that exist within our organizations. Notably, HOP isn't just a set of guidelines, but it's a lens through which we can view and understand the complexities of human behavior within safety systems.
That's right, Jay. HOP offers a unique perspective, focusing on the system rather than the individual. It's about recognizing that human error is inevitable and that systems should be designed to absorb and manage these errors. It's a transition from blaming individuals to understanding systemic influences.
Exactly. Samantha, by shifting our focus from the notion of error as a personal failing, HOP allows us to consider how organizational structures, policies, and cultures contribute to safety outcomes. This understanding prompts leaders to emphasize learning and improvement rather than punishment.
And Jay, this shift in perspective really opens up new avenues for enhancing safety. When organizations adopt HOP principles, they start to see errors as opportunities for deeper inquiry and learning. It's about being proactive rather than reactive.
Amanda, I agree wholeheartedly. HOP posits that safety isn't the absence of error, but the presence of defenses. It's fascinating to see how this approach not only mitigates risks, but also fosters an environment of mutual respect and open communication within teams.
Moreover, embracing the HOP approach encourages us to engage with frontline workers as key informants. Their insights can reveal systemic vulnerabilities that might otherwise go unnoticed, thus playing a crucial role in shaping more resilient safety cultures.
And in this way, the principles of HOP are instrumental in unmasking the players behind safety culture by focusing on human interactions and systemic conditions. We gain a clearer picture of the unseen dynamics at play within organizations. This understanding is crucial as we move forward to exploring other unseen forces at play in shaping safety culture. Moving beyond the human organizational performance insights, let's delve into the unseen forces shaping safety policies and practices from within. Our guest Samantha Jones has done extensive research in this field and is here to share her insights.
Thank you, Jay. One of the most underestimated factors impacting safety culture is actually the organizational structure itself. Many assume it's all about leadership decisions or frontline practices, but the truth lies deeper. The way an organization is structured can often dictate its safety dynamics subconsciously.
That's fascinating, Samantha. Could you elaborate on how organizational structure imposes these unseen forces?
Certainly. For instance, hierarchy levels and communication channels within an organization have a profound effect. In a rigid, top-down structure, crucial safety information might not reach all levels effectively, leading to misunderstandings or compliance issues. Meanwhile, a more horizontal structure might foster open communication and quicker dissemination of safety practices.
It sounds like there's a delicate balance that organizations need to strike. How do these structures impact decision-making processes?
The decision-making process is often influenced by who holds the power to decide what. In many cases, those making safety policy decisions are far removed from the day-to-day operations where the realities of these policies play out. This gap can lead to policies that look great on paper, but aren't practical or effective on the ground.
That's a crucial insight. It seems that aligning policymaking with operational realities is key. Can you talk about any specific mechanisms that organizations can use to identify these unseen forces?
One effective approach is to establish cross-functional teams that include members from all organizational levels. These teams can provide diverse perspectives and identify gaps that might otherwise go unnoticed. Additionally, maintaining open feedback channels encourages all employees to share their insights and concerns, ensuring a more holistic view of the safety culture.
That makes a lot of sense. Before we transition to our next segment, what advice would you give leaders wanting to address these unseen forces?
I'd advise leaders to engage in active listening and be willing to adapt their perspectives based on feedback from all organizational levels. Encouraging a culture of transparency and continuous improvement can reveal these unseen forces and pave the way for more effective safety practices.
Thank you, Samantha. As we continue our exploration of safety culture, let's start questioning the conventional narratives that often go unchallenged. Stay with us for more insights. As we move forward, let's take a moment to challenge the conventional narratives that often cloud the real contributors to safety culture. These narratives tend to oversimplify the dynamics at play within organizations, masking the complexity and the real challenges employees face on a daily basis.
Absolutely, Jay. The typical narrative often focuses solely on compliance and metrics, such as incident rates and lost time. While these are important, they don't fully capture the essence of safety culture or the human and organizational behaviors that drive those metrics.
Exactly, Samantha. By focusing purely on numbers, organizations might miss the opportunity to delve into the human side of the equation. The narrative is often driven by the need to report positive statistics. But what about the underlying practices that actually contribute to a safer work environment?
There's a tendency to view safety solely through the lens of compliance, which can lead to a compliance culture rather than a true safety culture. What we need is a shift from checking boxes on a form to understanding why people make the decisions they do and how the organization's culture supports those decisions.
And by dissecting these conventional narratives, we can start to peel back the layers and reveal the why behind behaviors. We start to discover what really influences safety culture beyond the surface level.
It's about shifting the conversation from blame and punishment to understanding and support. When employees feel less like they are under constant scrutiny and more like partners in safety, they are more likely to participate actively in safety initiatives.
As we continue this discussion, it's crucial to keep questioning and digging deeper. The next step is to shine a spotlight on those hidden players who drive and influence safety culture in ways we sometimes don't see immediately. Now, shifting gears, let's dig deeper into the roles of the unseen players within organizations, those who impact safety culture in ways we might not immediately recognize. While the official policies and safety protocols often bear the fingerprints of top-level management, it's the nuanced behaviors and decisions made by less visible players that truly shape the day-to-day safety practices within a company.
Exactly, Jay. It's remarkable how much influence these hidden figures have. Take, for instance, the role of maintenance staff or supervisors in the field. They are the ones who ensure equipment is functioning safely, often making critical judgments on the fly.
Absolutely, Samantha. Their insights based on direct hands-on experience can sometimes challenge or even override official guidelines, not out of disregard, but in pursuit of real-time safety solutions.
And let's not forget the influence of experienced frontline workers. They often hold institutional knowledge and have a keen sense of potential risks, which they relay through informal channels, shaping a safety-minded culture organically.
Right, Amanda, this kind of informal knowledge transfer is crucial and often goes unacknowledged. It's a direct illustration of human organizational performance in action, where real understanding transcends formal training.
Moreover, these hidden players are pivotal during transitions or changes in procedures. Their ability to adapt and communicate effectively within their teams ensures smoother transitions and continuity in safety practices.
So what we're seeing is that while we may focus our attention on the top-down approach to safety compliance, it's these ground-level interactions and decisions that sustain the safety culture in an organization.
Exactly. By acknowledging and empowering these unsung heroes, organizations can cultivate a robust safety environment that doesn't just exist on paper, but thrives in daily operations.
And it's such acknowledgement and integration that can bridge the gap between safety directives and practical application, facilitating a more resilient organizational safety culture. As we move forward, it's crucial to understand how sometimes the most significant influencers of safety culture are not the ones on the organizational chart. Samantha, you've given this a lot of thought. Can you shed some light on these overlooked influencers within organizations?
Absolutely, Jay. When we talk about safety culture, the typical focus is on leadership and formal roles like safety officers. However, many real influencers are those who operate quietly in the background. These include longtime employees, informal leaders, or those who may not carry a formal title but have earned the respect of their peers. Their day-to-day actions and beliefs can significantly impact the way safety measures are perceived and adhered to by others.
It's fascinating, really, to consider that someone without a formal leadership role can wield so much influence. Could you provide a practical example of how these individuals might affect safety culture in a tangible way?
Certainly. Consider an experienced technician who's been with the company for decades. While they may not have a formal management position, their extensive knowledge and willingness to share it can influence how newer employees view and prioritize safety. If this person values and practices safety, it sets a standard among their peers. Conversely, if they're dismissive of certain protocols, it can lead to a culture of non-compliance among their colleagues.
That's such an important point, Samantha. It reminds us of the human side of safety culture, how relationships and respect play into adhering to safety policies. How might organizations better leverage these informal influencers to improve their overall safety practices?
Organizations would benefit from recognizing and integrating these informal influencers into safety discussions and decision-making processes. This could involve inviting them to safety meetings, seeking their input on safety policies, or even creating mentorship programs where they can guide less experienced colleagues. By valuing their insights, organizations can create more organic buy-in to safety initiatives, resulting in a more robust safety culture.
Great insights, Samantha. It's clear that sometimes the people who influence safety outcomes aren't those with the loudest voices, but those with the most genuine connections and lived experiences within the company. As we prepare to delve into our next discussion, it's worth keeping these insights in mind. to truly understand how safety culture is shaped within an organization, we must look beyond the formal structures and standard operating procedures. There exists a less obvious but immensely powerful force at play, the informal network. Let's look at a case study to illustrate this point. Imagine a mid-sized manufacturing company. On the surface, their safety protocols are by the book, strictly aligning with industry regulations. But dig a little deeper and you'll discover an entirely different layer. The informal structures where the real power often lies. Take, for instance, the role of informal leaders. These are individuals not necessarily in formal leadership roles, but are incredibly influential within their peer groups. It might be the veteran machine operator whom everyone turns to for advice, or the administrative assistant who seems to have a connection with every department. And in our case study, a particular informal leader, let's call him Bob, became pivotal in spreading crucial safety messages. He wasn't on the safety committee, nor did he hold any managerial position, but his experience and natural charisma made him a central figure. When a new safety regulation was introduced, it was Bob who interpreted it in a way that resonated with his colleagues, simplifying complex language into practical terms everyone could understand. This dissemination of information through the informal network ensured that safety practices were actually understood and implemented on the ground rather than just existing as another policy on paper. But the influence doesn't stop with individuals. The network's strength also lies in its nodes and connections. The relationships built over coffee breaks, shared stories, and mutual trust, these bonds facilitate the rapid spread of information, often much faster than any formal announcement could achieve. So, what does this tell us? Well, for one, it underscores the importance of recognizing and engaging with these informal networks when aiming to improve safety culture. Organizations that ignore this layer often struggle to understand why their meticulously crafted safety protocols aren't yielding the desired outcomes. As we prepare to delve deeper into the unseen facets that influence organizational safety, keep these informal networks in mind. They are just as powerful, if not more so, than the overt power structures that are usually scrutinized. Continuing from our last discussion, the interplay of power and politics in an organization is a critical yet often overlooked component that can greatly influence safety culture. As we delve into this, we begin to unravel the hidden dynamics that can either strengthen or undermine safety initiatives. It's not just about the policies we see on paper, but about who holds the power to enforce or ignore these policies.
Absolutely, Jay. In my time working with various organizations, I've seen how some individuals, due to their position of power, can significantly impact the effectiveness of safety protocols. This goes beyond the written guidelines, entering into personal relationships and influence that aren't captured in official documents.
Samantha, you've touched on an important point. The unofficial networks and alliances within a company can often dictate whether a safety culture is thriving or failing. How do you think these internal politics play out practically in shaping safety culture?
I've observed that those in unofficial leadership roles often have more sway than their job titles suggest. For example, a respected long-term employee might have more influence over workplace behavior than even higher-level managers. This can be both a benefit and a barrier, depending on whether they prioritize safety or not.
That's fascinating. So it's not necessarily about job titles, but about influence and respect. Amanda, what's your take on this dynamic? How does it affect the implementation of safety practices?
In many cases, I've seen formal processes being overshadowed by these informal power structures. When key influencers dismiss safety practices as unnecessary, it sends a clear signal throughout the organization. It creates an environment where following rules isn't valued over fitting in with the prevailing mindset.
It seems crucial, then, to identify these hidden influencers early in any safety culture assessment. Samantha, from your experience, what strategies have been effective in navigating these political waters?
The first step is often engagement. Building relationships with those unofficial leaders and involving them in the safety dialogue can help redirect the focus positively. When they advocate for safety, it naturally becomes part of everyday decision-making and practices.
Engagement seems to be a recurring theme in successful safety culture transformations. Understanding power dynamics allows us to work with the flow of influence rather than against it. Welcome back. As we move forward from exploring the interplay of power and politics, it's crucial to address the barriers that often impede real safety culture transformation within organizations. The journey to achieving a genuine safety culture isn't a straightforward path, and many organizations find themselves hindered by various obstacles. Today, we're digging into these hurdles and what keeps them so stubbornly entrenched.
One of the biggest barriers is resistance to change, particularly from those who are comfortable with the status quo. Change often threatens established norms and practices, creating a natural pushback.
Absolutely, Samantha. And this resistance isn't always overt. Sometimes it's subtle, like the employees nodding in agreement during meetings, but falling back into old habits once they're back on the floor.
Another obstacle is the lack of communication across different levels of the organization. If leadership doesn't effectively convey the importance of a safety culture or listen to employees' concerns, alignment is nearly impossible.
Right, Amanda. Communication is the cornerstone of any cultural shift. Without it, even the best policies can fall flat and become nothing more than another document collecting dust.
Let's not forget about inadequate training and resources. Many organizations talk about safety, but fail to provide the necessary tools and knowledge to their employees to actually implement these changes.
Inadequate training is a crucial point, Samantha. When workers aren't given the right resources or education, they can't be expected to prioritize safety appropriately or holistically.
Also, metrics and incentives play a huge role. Sometimes organizations are so focused on numbers, like reducing incident rates, that they forget the human aspect, which is vital for sustaining a genuine safety culture.
Great insight, Amanda. Focusing too heavily on numbers can lead to a culture of compliance rather than one of genuine care and safety. It's a delicate balance to strike. All these barriers show that transforming safety culture is more than just changing policies. It's about changing minds and hearts too. Without addressing these unseen players, real change will remain out of reach. As we wrap up this segment, we've identified key barriers to safety culture transformation, and in our next section, we'll delve into practical steps organizations can take to address these challenges head on. As we move past the barriers that often halt real safety culture transformation, it's important to consider how we can actively change the narrative. In this section, our focus is on the practical steps organizations can take to bring these hidden influencers to light.
One of the first actionable steps is recognizing the human elements within your systems. Human organizational performance, or HOP, encourages us to view errors as opportunities for learning rather than punishments. This shift empowers individuals at every level to contribute to safety culture more openly.
That's a valuable point, Samantha. So, how organizations begin this shift in mindset?
Start by creating open channels for feedback. Encourage employees to speak up without fear of retribution. This could be in the form of regular safety meetings, anonymous surveys, or even suggestion boxes. By actively listening, organizations can uncover unseen players and influencers of safety culture.
Listening is indeed crucial, but what role does accountability play in this practical approach?
Accountability should be framed positively rather than as a tool for blame. It means taking responsibility for actions, yes, but also sharing stories and feedback that can lead to constructive change. This way, the focus remains on system improvements rather than individual faults.
That makes sense. Can you elaborate on any tools or methodologies that might help in this process?
Certainly. Regular training sessions on HOP principles can be very effective. Implementing techniques such as after-action reviews and investing in continuous education about system safety and risk management will help reinforce a culture of learning and transparency.
To wrap up this section, it's clear that unmasking safety culture requires intentional steps to engage with the human elements and prioritize learning. As we shift towards our next speaker, we aim to further explore these themes. Stay tuned as we introduce Amanda Welch in the upcoming section. Now, transitioning from our earlier discussions, let's introduce our next guest. Today, we have Amanda Welch with us, an expert in organizational psychology who truly understands the nuanced layers of cultural assessments and transformations that organizations undergo. Amanda, it's an honor to have you here. Can you tell our audience a bit about your background and what sparked your interest in safety culture within organizations?
Thank you, Jay. My journey into organizational psychology, particularly focusing on safety culture, began with my fascination with human behavior and how it shapes organizational environments. Over the years, I realized that the unseen elements, the ones that aren't usually part of the typical metrics, hold the key to understanding safety culture.
That's incredibly insightful, Amanda. As we delve deeper, could you share what you've observed as some of the key unseen players in shaping safety culture?
Certainly. The unseen players often include the informal leaders within an organization, those who might not hold official titles but have significant influence. They can reinforce or undermine safety policies based on their own beliefs and behaviors. Additionally, the narratives that circulate within an organization, whether stemming from past incidents or shared stories, also subtly guide how safety culture is perceived and practiced.
It's fascinating how these informal dynamics play such a critical role. For organizations looking to address these unseen elements, what initial steps would you recommend?
A comprehensive cultural assessment is a good start. It helps in identifying these informal leaders and understanding the prevalent narratives. It's essential to engage with employees at all levels to gather a holistic insight into the organizational culture. Moreover, training programs focused on human organizational performance can aid in bridging the gap between policy and practice.
Thank you, Amanda. Your insights are incredibly valuable and will resonate with many of our listeners navigating similar challenges as we gradually uncover these layers. I'm eager to dive into the dynamics further with you. You articulated such powerful points, Amanda. Moving forward, I'd love to delve deeper into those psychological factors you touched on. Can you expand on how these elements are at play within the safety culture of organizations?
Absolutely, Jay. Psychology often serves as an invisible thread that weaves itself throughout the culture of safety in an organization. It's about understanding not just the operational dynamics, but also the human emotions, cognitive biases, and personal motivations that everyone from leadership to the frontline workers may have.
That makes a lot of sense. Could you give us an example of a psychological factor that you see most commonly affecting safety culture?
One common element is the concept of a safety climate. It refers to the surface level expressions of the deeper safety culture. If employees perceive that safety is not genuinely valued by their leaders, no matter how many policies are in place, they'll likely deprioritize it themselves.
Right, so it's almost like the organization's intent has to match its actions, and if there's a mismatch, people can sense it.
Exactly. It's one thing to mandate safety protocols and quite another to see leaders walking the talk. When employees see consistent actions that align with safety policies, it strengthens the underlying culture.
And when that alignment is missing, how does it affect the overall safety measures in place?
It can lead to a culture of compliance rather than commitment. Employees might follow rules just because they have to, not because they believe in their importance. This mindset doesn't foster the proactive attitude needed to identify and address safety concerns before they escalate.
That's a significant insight, Amanda. Understanding that psychology aspect is crucial. It's about creating an environment where safety is more than just a checklist, but a deeply ingrained value.
Exactly, Jay. In the end, everyone in the organization must feel psychologically safe to voice concerns or suggest improvements without fear of reprisal. It's about being a part of a culture that values everyone's input.
Such valuable insights, Amanda. I appreciate how this perspective can ultimately reshape how safety culture is built and sustained within organizations. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Let's now pivot and explore how the human factor plays a pivotal role in organizational safety. Now that we've unpacked Amanda's insights on cultural dynamics, we shift our focus onto the human factor in organizational safety. Samantha, diving into this, how do human behaviors and interactions steer safety practices while also introducing unseen risk factors?
Well, Jay, when we talk about the human factor, we're tapping into the nuanced world of human behavior and its ripple effects within organizations. Each individual's actions, decisions, and even their perceptions can significantly influence safety outcomes. For instance, a single person's choice to bypass safety procedures might seem trivial at first glance. However, it sets a precedent that can rapidly multiply across teams as acceptable behavior.
That's fascinating, Samantha. So, does this mean that there's an inherent unpredictability in safety due to these behaviors?
Absolutely, Jay. Human behavior is complex and often inconsistent. While we can implement various structures and protocols, human interactions inevitably introduce variables that are hard to quantify. For example, an experienced worker might develop overconfidence, subconsciously overlooking minor safety checks, believing their expertise will cover them. This inadvertently introduces risk factors that aren't easily visible through a typical safety checklist.
It sounds like there's a fine line between flexibility and following safety practices and the potential for such practices to be undermined by these unseen factors. What role does organizational culture play in shaping workers' adherence to safety protocols?
Organizational culture acts as the invisible hand that guides behavior and expectations. If an organization fosters a culture of openness and accountability, employees are more likely to follow safety protocols and feel comfortable discussing potential risks or near-miss incidents. But if the culture is one of blame and punishment, it discourages transparency, often forcing employees to hide mistakes which could be critical in avoiding major accidents.
So essentially, a strong safety culture can mitigate some of these human-induced risks by encouraging positive safety behaviors. However, if the culture is deficient in certain respects, it could amplify these unseen risk factors. It's clear that the human factor is undeniably crucial in shaping safety practices.
Exactly, Jay. That's why it's essential for organizations to leverage human organizational performance principles, which focus on the people-centered perspective of safety management. This approach encourages continuous learning, adaptation, and improvement, allowing organizations to better navigate and manage the human elements within their safety systems.
Thank you for shedding light on this, Samantha. Understanding the human aspect is crucial for anticipating potential pitfalls and implementing effective safety practices. For our listeners, this examination of human behavior truly highlights the complexities of safety in the workplace. As we move forward in this dialogue on safety culture, one vital piece often overlooked is the analysis and lessons from large-scale safety failures. These failures aren't just about broken parts or failed processes, but are deeply rooted in cultural elements within an organization. Samantha, could you share your thoughts on how large-scale safety failures have historically highlighted the overlooked aspects of organizational culture?
Absolutely, Jay. When we look at large-scale failures, like the ones in the aviation or oil industries, we often uncover a web of cultural influences that were silently at play. These are factors like normalized deviance, where deviations from safety standards become the new norm, or an inadequate challenge culture, where staff feel unable to speak up about safety concerns.
That's insightful, Samantha. These failures often expose that not just the tangible systems fail, but the human systems as well. Policies and practices might appear robust, yet the cultural undertones can undermine them. Amanda, in your experience, how essential is it to assess the cultural components during post-failure investigations?
It's crucial, Jay. Without a cultural assessment, organizations may only fix the superficial issues, leaving deeper cultural problems unaddressed. Understanding the blame culture or the lack of ownership can provide crucial insights into preventative strategies moving forward. This encompasses everything from frontline behaviors to the attitudes and priorities set by top management.
So, looking at these incidents through the human organizational performance lens, we not only seek to understand the failures in the technical sense, but delve into the decision-making processes and cultural context that allowed them to occur.
That's a great point, Jay. HOP encourages us to view these as learning opportunities rather than simply failures. This shift in perspective is fundamental in identifying unseen players influencing safety culture. It's about learning and evolving, not just pointing fingers.
And Samantha, that's exactly why these discussions are so critical. As we strive to build more resilient safety cultures, understanding how to navigate these hidden influences becomes paramount. Thanks to everyone who's tuned in so far as we've explored some riveting lessons from large-scale safety failures. We now move into a segment where we can expand upon the nuances and finer details that our listeners are curious about. We have some excellent questions lined up that dive into the specific, less visible aspects of safety culture. Human organizational performance surely offers a thick lens to view things, doesn't it, Samantha?
Absolutely, Jay. Human organizational performance, or HOP for short, is an enlightening perspective because it shifts focus from blaming individuals to understanding and improving the systems they operate within.
Great point, Samantha. One of our listeners asked, can you provide examples of unseen players who significantly influence safety culture? Amanda, what do you think?
Certainly, Jay. Often, it's the frontline workers and mid-level management who are the unsung heroes. They offer invaluable insights into practical safety solutions because they're the ones directly engaging with the safety protocols on a daily basis.
That makes a lot of sense. So when we speak of these unseen players, it's not just those informal leadership roles that we're referring to. It's broader than that.
Exactly. And understanding their perspectives and experiences can lead to a more realistic and sustainable safety culture.
Now, the query came in about how we can better integrate these unseen players into the overarching safety narrative of an organization. Any thoughts, Amanda?
One approach is to involve them in designing safety protocols. Their day-to-day experiences are critical in shaping policies that are not only enforceable, but also palatable and practical.
Such collaborative efforts could indeed transform the nebulous concept of safety culture into a tangible, lived experience for everyone involved. Samantha, would you like to add on that?
I'd just say that the more we can bridge the gap between policymaking and the lived realities of the workforce, the stronger our safety culture becomes.
Thanks, Samantha and Amanda. It seems by engaging all levels of organization, especially those often overlooked, we could see transformative results in safety culture. We still have more ground to cover as we continue this enlightening dive into safety culture and the role of unseen players. Let's transition now to more of your questions and broaden our insights even further. As we move towards the close of today's episode of Unmasking Safety Culture, the real unseen players, it's essential we reflect on the insights we've gathered. Our discussion today has unveiled the often hidden or overlooked influencers of safety culture within organizations. By examining human and organizational performance, or HOP, we've explored how deeply ingrained patterns and mindsets can shape our approach to safety. We've heard from experts who have challenged the status quo and pointed out areas that need our attention.
It's been enlightening to talk about how our perceptions of safety are shaped by a complex interplay of organizational practices and human behavior. HOP allows us to see beyond the surface, emphasizing understanding over blame.
Absolutely, Samantha. It's about fostering a culture that not only reacts to incidents but prevents them through a deeper understanding of human factors. The ultimate goal is a more resilient and adaptive safety culture.
Thank you, Samantha and Amanda, for delving into these vital topics with us. The insights you provided today encourage us to rethink how safety is managed and measured in our organizations. As you, our listeners, reflect on what we've discussed, think about your own organization and its safety culture. Who are the unseen players in your environment, and how can their roles be leveraged or redefined for better safety outcomes? Take these thoughts back to your teams and challenge the existing paradigms. The change doesn't happen overnight, but it begins with awareness and willingness to explore beyond conventional safety measures. Before we wrap up, just a quick reminder, safety is a collective effort and everyone's role is crucial. Join us next time as we continue to unmask the forces shaping our work environments and driving change. Until then, stay safe and stay curious about the hidden dynamics at play in your workplace.